Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got the band back together. Yay! I've got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And I've got Venerable Tom Dorian.
Yes, sir.
Ever as venerable. Waiting for the next step.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to that. So,
I don't make my kids think that of me.
What, that you're venerable?
Yeah, I don't think that.
It doesn't matter. The church has named you, I think. Haven't they?
In your face, kids.
I guess I haven't really checked that, like, that actual data point.
I guess you would call them kids. They're pretty old now.
Your kids are... Yeah, you're getting along.
So are mine.
So are mine. Fun fact, a lot of people don't realize that Vin Diesel is actually, he's the Venerable Diesel. That's Vin is for short. Yeah.
Is that where he got the Vin from?
Yeah. I think it's
Venerable.
But he wasn't honored for his hair like Tom was.
Well, and obviously. Vin Diesel didn't have any. Tom has Vin Diesel's hair, actually. I think that's what that is. Yeah, I'm so sorry. How did we get here? Look, here's something we're going to talk about. This is going to be in a long time. This is going to be the first like ordinary show. Yeah. We're just going to have an ordinary show because we're going to talk about ordinary time. And people are like, oh, this is going to be a boring show because it's going to be ordinary. This is not. In fact, I'm hoping that people realize that as we enter into ordinary time, this is no ordinary time.
And saying that ordinary time is extraordinary?
It's intraordinary, but I don't know how to say it. You know, first of all, let's stop for a second and just say, what does ordinary time mean? It is a season of the church. There are two of them that come on either side of, well, we'll just say the Christmas season and the Easter season. And there's this time of ordinary time. And a lot of people think like, it's the time we wear green, and everyone goes like, well, it's the boring time. It's like there's nothing big happening. Mm-hmm. It's ordinary, and that's not where the word comes from. It's ordinal. It comes from counting. We are counting from this big feast to this next big season, right? So we're coming from this. So the first ordinary time is immediately after the Christmas season, and then it lasts until you get to Lent. And it's ordinal. We are counting our days from Christmas to Lent to begin this next round of very important feasts. But this second ordinary time, which comes after Easter, and will basically go until we get, you know, Christ the King. And so it's a lot longer ordinary time. But it's not an ordinary and plain time. And this is what I want people to understand. And maybe it's an opportunity for all of us to sort of pay attention to what is happening in the church at this time, right now. First and foremost, so this is Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is an ordinary time. But the Trinity itself, the Catechism, tells us...
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it tells us this is the greatest Christian mystery,
yeah,
is the most holy Trinity. This is the understanding. Yeah, in fact, it's the source. Some of us in clergy world will call this Heresy Sunday because you preach on the Trinity and you get dangerously close to preaching heresy.
Oh, how you describe the Trinity?
Yes, when you try to explain the Trinity, it's like water. If your priest or it's modalism, Patrick. You know, if your priest or your deacon says the word like when after he says Trinity,
he's done.
Run for the hills, right? Lightning may strike, you know, because it's like there's you get into trouble. You say it's like because there's not a lot of it's likes.
Right.
It's a great, deep, profound mystery that if you fully understand it, I promise you, you're standing before the throne of God,
right,
in the beatific vision. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I think that a human being can ever understand fully the mystery of the Trinity. So this happens literally on the first week of this ordinary time. But we've just come through Pentecost. So the Easter season ends with two big feasts, and that's Ascension of our Lord going to be with and take his rightful place on the throne, right, to be the just judge in all authority, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus ascends into heaven, but then when he ascends into heaven, he promises and gives the Holy Spirit to the church to breathe life into the church at the birth. A lot of people look at the Pentecost as the birthday of the church. And so the end of the Easter season, you think like, oh, it's all done now. Let's go home and rest. We're going to take the summer off. We're going to relax. We're not going to do anything big. We're just going to have regular Sundays, and maybe Father will get back to having the decent short homilies, and we can start thinking about just our regular work life, maybe take some time off, go on vacation, and not think deep thoughts about our Catholic faith for the whole summer. And I'm not saying everybody does that, but because that happens in our work life, typically, our family life, we can kind of do that in our church life as well and start. And so because the RCIA, which is now OCIA program, used to model like the school year. And so there'd be like nothing that happens in OCIA over the summer until, you know, August, when things start kicking back into, you know, people get back from vacation. So like the church can be a dead spot for some people. Mm-hmm. Yet the Catholic Church, our faith, teaches us otherwise, because we've got Trinity Sunday, right? And that's big. And then following that, the next week is Corpus Christi, right? The feast of the body and blood of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you go, wow, okay, so this is an important thing. And then literally on the heels.
Source and summit of the faith.
Yes, a source. And so we have the greatest mystery of our Christian faith, the Trinity. Then we have the source and summit of our faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And when we say source and summit, when we're talking about Corpus Christi, we're not just talking about intellectual. We're talking about intellectual and spiritual and physical, right? Nourishment, spiritual nourishment. It's incredible. It is the source of all the graces that we need in life, right? And it's the greatest, the summit of our connection with God, mm-hmm. to actually receive our Lord and Savior, body, blood, soul, and divinity into our bodies. It's a celebration of that, right? That's huge, right? And then on the heels of that, we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart, right? Which is the Friday, the 4 days after Corpus Christi. And it's like another great feast, which it actually sort of speaks to the whole month. Right then, after, and then that Saturday we have the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which follows on the heels of Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we start looking at like those, and those have whole devotions, saints that are essentially fixated on them, and so here we are. We'll be in, sooner than we think. We'll be in the middle of summer, right? And then we're gonna we're gonna have like the Feast of the Assumption. Which is August 15th. And so it's like you look at the summer, and the summer is jam-packed with stuff. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we recognize that we're not supposed to, like, rest on our laurels here, mm-hmm. after the Easter season. Because mm-hmm. finally, Father's taken those last Easter lilies that, you know, are withering and dying. There's just like these green stalks there. All the flowers have fallen off. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, but there's still a little life in there. It's like, okay, yeah, Father, this is not representing what it's supposed to represent. You know, we need to get rid of these Easter lilies, because they try to keep those as long as they can. But they, you know, I don't know about other areas. Maybe other areas can keep them alive longer, but we don't do so well, mm-hmm. in our area of the nation. But all that aside, you know, it seems like that Easter withers and fades, and then people kind of go into Catholic hibernation.
Right. And, you know, when I was listening to you, I started thinking in terms of, the Mass, the Missi at the end of the Mass, the dismissal, which is where we get the name, right?
Yeah.
Of the Mass.
Yes.
We're told once we receive the Eucharist, we are dismissed, right, to go and pursue the glory of God and to witness him in the world, right? And I think if you look at the sort of the way in which the liturgical calendar is set up, and you think about that ordinal aspect of ordinary time, where we're counting from between Pentecost Sunday to, you know, Advent, right? Like, so when we've got Advent, you know, we're preparing for the Lord to come anew to us, right? And then he comes, and then we have the celebration of the Epiphany after the celebration of Christmas, and then we're starting to prepare for Lent, right? And we enter into his passion. We enter into the celebration of his resurrection. And then the Holy Spirit, you know, culminating in the descent of the Holy Spirit, right, on Pentecost Sunday. Well, at that point, we've been brought through the full mystery of the incarnation, and it is supposed to culminate in us, right? That the Holy, we are to receive the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, and you can think of, in a way, of Pentecost Sunday being sort of the great missy, you know, the great dismissal of now going forward into this ordinary time to carry forward what you've received and witnessing, you know, the Lord coming anew. Both during the Advent and Christmas season and stepping into the mysteries of his life, his death, his resurrection, and then receiving that the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Because, and I think it's very appropriate that you go from Pentecost Sunday to Holy Trinity Sunday, because ultimately when we receive the Holy Spirit, the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to form Christ in us for the glory of the Father, you know, so that we can receive the sufferings of our life in union with him, taking up our cross each day and suffer and experience our sufferings, our minor deaths each day in union with him, so that we can, you know, experience new resurrections in him. But it's all for the glory of the Father. So it's inherently a Trinitarian thing. If you have a devotion to the Holy Spirit that doesn't bring you into intimate union with Christ and bring you to receive and know and glorify the Father, then something is wrong in that. And I think that that's a beautiful way for us to kind of carry forward from Pentecost into this is sort of these months are the times where we're supposed to carry those mysteries forward and become that living mystery of love.
I agree wholeheartedly. And you said a word that's really important and kind of expounded on it a little bit, and that is prepare, right? You said the word prepare several times, and it's like, so we see all each one of these major feasts as a preparation, but especially like the season of Easter. It was interesting. I went into a restaurant the other day. It was Bojangles, just so everybody knows. I was going in to have a biscuit. And I went in and had a biscuit, and I saw a man who saw me. And I'd just come from church, so it was Sunday. And I was walking. I held the door for a guy that was coming in. And, you know, in our part of the town, you know, there's a really good chance it's going to be a good Protestant person. It's just, it's a really good chance. We have a lot of our separated brothers and sisters here.
Like 4% chance.
Yeah, it's a pretty good chance. And so the guy sees my collar, and it's usually a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, so did you preach today? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I just finished preaching on the Ascension. And he says, the Ascension. I said, oh. And I said, yeah, we Catholics, we celebrate Easter. We have 8 Sundays. I mean, it's like it's a long deal. He goes, you know, I never thought about it, but that's the most important thing we need to know. We need to know that. We need to know that stuff. We need to recognize that.
Yes, you do.
You can talk about the resurrection forever. I said, yeah, it's a big moment, but I think it really helps us to understand what we're supposed to do with our life. You know, God gave us this life. I mean, he's like, here's your life. Here's new life, right? And then you're supposed to do something with it. So we had a good little conversation. I don't know that man's going to be Catholic any day soon, but he really did appreciate the fact that the Catholics spent a lot of time on Easter, a lot of time on the resurrection and the Ascension. And I said, it all wraps up next week with Pentecost, you know, when Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. That's, you know, 50 days after Easter, that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a little more conversation about, like, well, do you guys celebrate Pentecost and how do you do that? And kind of, well, the Spirit lives. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that we could have talked about. But it reminded me again of the fact that, like, especially there's a reason why we have these 8 Sundays of Easter. And there's a reason why that we spend all this time, like the octave of Easter and then the 8, all of the Easter season, so that we can essentially be prepared, right? And as you stated before, Advent and Christmas prepares us for something, right? And we're prepared, and then you go like, for what? Mm-hmm. Right? We're prepared for what? Well, we're prepared for life. We're actually supposed to live. We're not supposed to be like, basically, it's kind of like, you know how people in work, they get upset of having too many meetings, It's a common, like, there's those little memes and the little Xerox pieces of paper they would hang up with, like, I hate meetings, and be some grumpy little mouse drinking a cup of coffee or something. I don't know, some stupid. And because there's just this ongoing thing in offices about we need to actually do work. We actually supposed to do work. We're not supposed to be meeting. We're always meeting about the meetings with the meeting, and then there's a pre-meeting before that meeting. And you can actually spend your entire work life meeting but not actually doing anything. You can spend your entire church life, right, just attending and just showing up and say, well, what's today's feast or what's today? But there is a truth that we're being prepared spiritually, sacramentally, physically, intellectually, all the different ways that human beings experience life. And then we're meant to do something with that. We're meant to take that from, this stage of knowing to the stage of being and the stage of doing. And so that's why these feasts at this ordinary time, when we have right after Pentecost, we've got the Most Holy Trinity and Corpus Christi and Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart, and then leading to the Assumption, we have these huge feast days that are meant to teach us things and to give us the graces. You said something else, Sam, that I thought was important, and that is like when you talked about the fact that receiving the Holy Spirit is like awakening you to the reception of and situating you in Jesus Christ through God the Father and through His authority, etc. And I boil that down to even more practical aspect, and that is every sacrament that you've ever received and every sacrament you will receive and every time you receive any grace from God, you're receiving all three persons.
Yes.
You're receiving not just, well, this is my relationship with the Holy Spirit, or this is my relationship with Jesus, my brother. This is my relationship with Jesus, my Father. When we're sacramentally tuned into the church, we're receiving all three. Like, and so this mystery of the Trinity is essentially the core of what's going to be Eucharist. Corpus Christi is not just about the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. It is, but in the reception, there is also the Holy Spirit in a connection with the Holy Spirit and God the Father. The Trinitarian formula is present. That's why a baptism without the Trinitarian formula is invalid, mm-hmm. right? And so we need to remember that all this preparation is meant to be lived. Now, the question then becomes, how does Tom Dorian live out into ordinary time? What do you do differently in
Huge
ordinary
question.
Time?
That's massive.
That's why I asked you.
Yeah, what?
So this is your cue.
No, I think you just practice. You show up when you're supposed to show up. You practice. You practice the sacraments. You just live it out.
So, yeah, okay, but I think some people
wrong
hear
answer.
That. No, I don't think it's a wrong answer. I think it's what everybody says. Yeah, me too. And then nothing happens. And I'm not. I think you don't give yourself enough credit for the stuff that you do. So you have a very active prayer life. You have a very active, like, I'll call it the, you have a very unique funeral ministry where you go to a lot of funerals. And I was always amazed at how you live your faith out. Because a lot of people say, like, wow. I live it out. I'm just living my faith. I am Catholic. And some people can get away with having a diploma on their wall that says, well, yeah, I'm Catholic. It says I'm Catholic. I have all the credentials of Catholicism, and I have it all there. I've received all my sacraments, and it's like, I'm ready to go to heaven. It's like, okay, but you're like 40, or you're 50, or you're 60. You're not ready to go to heaven. God's not done with you. There's stuff you're supposed to be doing. And so to what degree are we going to invite activities into our life that actually are part of evangelization, even if you're not knocking on doors?
I think your description of Bojangles actually summarizes it best. I think what you try to do is you try to make it a part of the fabric of your life.
Yes.
Try to weave in some kind of conversation or a seed here or a seed there of living it out or just a conversation at the door of a Bojangles.
Yeah, and it started with opening the door for the guy.
Right.
Right, and so just a little act of human decency, and it's like open the door, and then he sees the collar, and then it starts a conversation, and next thing you know, I'm explaining things that he didn't know about the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So I'm reminded here about the origins of the Dominican order, the Order of Preachers. St. Dominic, a lot of people don't know this. This is back when he was a canon regular. He found himself once at a tavern, and he was talking to an innkeeper.
Did he have his dog with him? The Dalmatian?
Yeah, exactly. But he was there at this tavern, and he was talking to this innkeeper who was very much caught up with in all kinds of unintentional heresies, right? But seemed very sure of his heresies. But St. Dominic was like a bit concerned, and he ended up staying there all night talking to the guy. And by the morning, the guy came and realized the truths that what St. Dominic was trying to pour into him.
Right.
And in the early days of the Dominicans, like, that was actually a very kind of an important founding story. And you got to keep in mind, before this, the notion of mendicant friars was kind of controversial at the time, because you were supposed to be monks who just stayed in the monastery all the time. So the notion of, like,
kind of cloistered,
movable monks, right, that's what it was. It was cloistered. And so the notion of people going out into the world, religious going out into the world, interacting with the world, was some people saw it as scandalous, and especially for the Dominicans, because brother Dominicans who were following in St. Dominic's footsteps would often go to these taverns specifically to just interact with everyday people. Because, I mean, back then you didn't have things like, a lot of the same sort of catechetical opportunities that you had. In fact, a lot of priests barely had, were illiterate. I mean, they were educated to perform the sacraments. But back then, only the bishops were really the preachers. You know what I mean? And so a lot of people were missing a lot of foundation. And so that's when they wanted to go and mix it up with these people in these taverns to bring them to Christ. And it's funny, because there was someone who started, people did start criticizing St. Dominic for this. And St. Dominic, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, if we're out here saving souls, I think the Lord will forgive us if we get our habits a little dirty. And that reminds me, similar to, like, we're supposed to smell like the sheep, right? And it also...
back then they said smell like the beer.
Yeah, like the beer, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's not a good thing, by the way.
But then another thing that I'm reminded of here is our Lord, when he's going to wash Peter's feet, and Peter and Jesus insists, well, because of your travels, your feet need to be clean, right? Yeah. I don't need to wash all over you. I just need
you're
to wash...
already clean.
You're already clean. I just need to wash your feet. And so if we're putting all of this together, I'm reminded, it's like if we're thinking of Pentecost, we're receiving the Holy Spirit, and then we're being sent out into ordinary time, counting these months between now and to where we're supposed to receive God anew in Advent, right? Then God knows that once we go through, if we're taking that journey seriously in those months of ordinary time, we're going to need that refresher. We're going to need to be able to receive Christ all over again, come Advent, right?
And the church is giving us that.
And the church is giving us that, right? And they're giving us several months where we're able to step into his mysteries, but then we're supposed to live his mysteries. And I think that's at the heart of what ordinary time is all about. Well, that, and also, Tom, you left out that also during ordinary time, he switches from hairspray to gel because of the summer heat.
Yeah, well, that's all that's important.
That's important.
That will be in the spiritual autobiography, which should be published soon after his death. Yeah. But we're hoping that's not anytime soon.
Thank you.
You bring up some really good points, Sam. You talked about things, and it's like, and we're going to go through, this season, and then it's going to start anew. Right, and with Advent, it's going to be another year, right? And then we just do this every year, and it's not about just having birthdays and celebrating birthdays, and memorializing days. It's about living life, and so it's tied to the cycle of life. It's tied to the trips around the sun, and the same things happen every year. And in the same way, spiritually, we are essentially emboldened, because we're empowered, because the Holy Spirit comes upon us, because we're given the graces, because we receive the sacraments and the preparation through these feasts and our understanding of our Catholic faith. So that, think about this. all the parables of Jesus' day and all the examples he gives, all the metaphors, all the things that he does, there's so much of it is so agrarian. It was an agrarian culture. And so he'd always talk about, you know, casting seeds and seeds planting and flourishing and then some rocky ground and all these different things that this image, these images he would portray. And you start thinking like, well, this is what it is to live life as a Catholic. You essentially are going to be casting seeds. You're planting seeds. You're going to help nourish those seeds, help develop and care for. You're going to pull weeds, whether it's around your children's lives or your family's lives, your friends' lives. You're going to try to care for them in a way so that that the Lord then in His power and His authority allows fruit to be born in the lives of these people. This is what it means to live life.
In the spirit of that, maybe we should ask everybody when we do our Hail Mary at the end of this episode to include a prayer for that guy you met at Bojangles.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That guy and how many more like him who are wandering the earth just kind of doing their thing every day and not really stopping and thinking about the big things, the important things, these monumental feasts.
Great analogy, by the way.
I don't think that, you know, you should be going into a conversation trying to convert somebody.
No.
I think you should go into a conversation because you opened a door for them.
It's more like just sharing.
Yeah, it's just being there. You're just
sharing your heart.
You're interested in their well-being. How are you doing today? Did you just come from church? What church do you go to? And it's not about like, I hope at the end of this that I'm going to prove him wrong.
Right.
You know, it's not the goal. It's because I learn from as much from other people who aren't like me as I do from the church teaching me things. And the reality is I think that we have to have a spirit of engagement, accompaniment, and all the best parts about being Christian are sharing our faith, but not testing other people's faith. Let the Holy Spirit work on them and do that. You just need to have encounters with people and welcome those and really avoid spiritual hibernation. This is a temptation everyone will have. And realize that these ordinary time feasts, I'll just call them ordinary feasts. That word makes it sound like it's a feast. It is a feast.
Yeah.
These ordinary feasts are going to lead us out of spiritual hibernation and help us to be better Christians and to live our lives in a beautiful way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.